Congressional investigators met today with the accountant in charge of auditing Enron's books. David Duncan was fired yesterday by Arthur Andersen for allegedly destroying documents that could be needed in criminal investigations into Enron's collapse. 8 congressional panels are looking into the Enron matter. That kind of high-profile attention could affect other investigations down the road, as NPR's Emily Harris reports.
Congressional investigators already have at least 2 witnesses who could potentially do a lot of damage to executives at Enron and its auditor, Arthur Andersen. A lawyer for fired Andersen accountant David Duncan says he was following company instructions when he destroyed records related to Enron's off-the-books partnerships. And congressional subpoenas brought in documents that show an Enron vice president, Sharon Watkins, raised concerns about those partnerships with her boss, Ken Lay, in a letter and with Andersen executives in a phone call a few days later. There are 8 congressional panels looking into various aspects of the Enron collapse.
That certainly is excessive. The way the Congress is set up is excessive.
Democratic Senator Jeff Bingaman chairs the Energy Committee.
There's an awful lot of overlapping jurisdiction, and you've got something of a frenzy going on here of everyone trying to look into some aspect or another of the problem.
Bingaman's committee has scheduled a hearing at the end of January to look at whether the lack of transparency in energy trading contributed to Enron's collapse. Other congressional panels are already at full tilt, planning hearings and gathering documents. But while Congress grabs attention, it's the Justice Department and Securities and Exchange Commission investigations that could actually return indictments. Those are just getting off the ground. Justice investigators will likely want to talk to some of the same witnesses Congress has found, but they'd prefer to do that first. One worry is Congress could grant immunity in exchange for testimony. Also, says former justice lawyer Neil Katyal, congressional appearances can be a problem because witnesses never repeat a story without some discrepancies.
Discrepancies that are often not all that significant, but nevertheless discrepancies that a skilled defense lawyer can use in a criminal trial to say, well, witness, your story varied from one committee on one day to another committee on another day, and indeed is varying from the story you are telling the court in the context of this criminal trial today.
But that technique can help prosecutors, too. If Enron executives testify before Congress, for example, justice lawyers would compare that polished, practiced testimony with other evidence to look for possible perjury. Neither congressional inquiries nor Department of Justice indictments will be able to restore the billions of dollars lost by Enron shareholders, but information made public by Congress can cut the workload for private lawyers. Over 60 shareholder and staff lawsuits have been filed against Enron. Robin Harrison represents former employees who are suing over lost pension savings. He says it's a huge help to have Watkins' letter to Enron boss Ken Lay, which indicates he was warned of serious problems in August.
We had already heard talk of Ms. Watkins and of the fact that she had blown the whistle around last summer, but we had not been able to confirm just who she was. Independent of that, we've interviewed a number of people and have been obtaining bits and pieces of information, but nothing like what has been reported concerning Ms. Watkins' memorandum to the company.
Additional damaging revelations about Enron and Andersen could come out as congressional, justice, and private investigators continue their work. Emily Harris, NPR News, Washington.